Hello and welcome back to the Adventures in Marketing podcast. I'm your host, Gwen Montoya. If you'd like to connect with me on Facebook or Pinterest or Twitter or Instagram, you can find me at gmontoyapdx. If you are a Pinterest person, definitely check out my Pinterest account. I have been curating some really great content on boards for you over there. My methodology is that if it's not something that I would actually use or recommend to a client, I'm not going to pin it. So some of the boards are a little bit thin, but the stuff there is really quality. It doesn't go to anybody's sign up form. It's not a fake link. It's actually stuff that I have sent to clients because I like it and I wanted to put it all in one place for you. So that's what I've been working on over on Pinterest. And each episode that I create here for this podcast gets a companion Pinterest board, which means that if I find more resources for you, or if there is something else I wanted to share and it's hard to share it over a podcast with as far as links go and things like that, you can head over to the Pinterest board and check that out. So definitely do that if you're a Pinterest person. If you're not a Pinterest person, just ignore it. So for this episode, I wanted to talk about holiday marketing. So we're actually cutting it kind of close as far as winter holiday marketing goes, because I always recommend starting at least, at a minimum, 6 weeks before your target holiday date. And the reason I want you to do that is because I want you to have time to plan. I want you to have time to create a strategy. I want you to have time to really understand what your audience is looking for and how to provide that in the best way. So, although this is almost winter holiday time, I am approaching this particular holiday marketing as whatever the holiday that you have in mind. So, if for some reason 4th of July is a big holiday for you, if for some reason Labor Day is a big holiday for you, whatever it is, that's really what we're talking about. We're not necessarily talking about the really targeted seasonal winter kind of holiday. So, this applies to all year. So you can listen to this episode at any time and it will probably have something valuable for you. At least that's my goal. The first thing I want to talk about is making it easy on your buyers, because that's really what makes the sale, right? When we provide things that are easy to buy, it makes the purchases easy. Somebody feels confident doing that. All of those things, that makes for an easy sale. So what I'm going to focus on is ways that you can make your sales easier for your clients, easier for your buyers. And the first thing is to get outside of your comfort zone and promote what you do. And in fact, the bigger the holiday, and you know the ones I'm talking about, the bigger the holiday, the more we need to promote, because there's so much more going on. So if you are, for example, the holiday that you want to promote is National Cupcake Day, there's probably not a lot of competition. However, if you are promoting one of the bigger holidays, so is everybody else. And everybody has a lot of things that they need to do around those holidays on the personal and professional level. So their minds are full. The best way that you can make it easy for somebody who wants to buy the kinds of things that you sell anyway is to promote what you do. And you need to promote in general far more than you think you need to. But when it comes to holidays, that's why we see such a holiday push, right? That's why in the weeks leading up to pretty much any of our holidays, you're sort of bombarded with all of these reminders about the holiday. And the reason is because we forget otherwise. And if we're targeting a holiday sale, then you have a day or a week to make that sale. So when it comes to promoting your business around the holidays, especially for holiday sales, if you have holiday specials, if you have special discounts, any of those things, you need to talk about it a lot more than you think you are. And you may be sitting there thinking, but I don't want to bother somebody. If you are providing something that somebody wants and you are making it easy for them to find it, then you're not bothering them, you're helping them. And I think that's a really good way to look at it. You're promoting what you do so that the right people can find you. If you sit in the corner and never talk about what you do, your people are going to go somewhere else. They just will. Get comfortable with promotion, which I say a lot because it's important and it needs to happen. So the next thing is, around holidays, we'll see a lot of promotions and we'll see specials and deals and discounts. And it can feel as if you also have to offer those. it can feel as if nobody will buy from you unless you're doing some sort of deal or discount, which can be true depending on your buyer. If your buyers are always looking for a deal or a discount and you're not offering that, then they will go somewhere else. If you're going to offer a deal or a discount or some form of special offer for the holidays, you need to understand what your margins are. If what you end up paying in free shipping means that you lose money on every sale, then that's not a good offer for you. If you are offering discounts on things and you don't have the wiggle room to cover your expenses and to make at least some sort of profit without a really good strategy behind that reason, then that's not a good idea. So before you start feeling like you have to offer some sort of 50% off discount and free shipping and all of these great things, pause and look at how much you need to make to cover your basics and to meet your sales goals before you start putting things on sale. Now, once you know what those are, and if you feel like putting things on sale may slow you down a little bit to reach that goal, but that you will still reach that goal, then it makes sense to do some sort of discount or special. But please don't feel as if the only way to make a sale is to be the cheapest option, because what happens is we can inadvertently train our clients, our people, to only come to us for something free or cheap. And we don't want that. You don't want your business to be known as the discount option unless that's your business. Instead, you want your business to be known as the really good option, and it's worth the value of what somebody pays. Now that you know what your pricing structure is for the holidays and whether or not you're going to offer any discounts, the next thing to think about is another way to make it easier for the buyer. And this is where gift baskets come from. It's where things that are related to each other are bundled together. And the thing is, you can do that with your products. You can do that with, in most cases, whatever you sell, you can probably put together a little gift basket or a little package offer. And you might end up discounting one or two items in the basket, if that makes sense for you, or all things can be at full price. But the benefit of doing that is that people, when it comes to holiday shopping, are busy. They're distracted. They're trying to get this done as fast as possible. They want something awesome, but they also don't want to have to think about it more than they need to. So by putting bundles together, by putting little packages of things together that somebody can walk into a store or order online, and it is a quick and easy process for them to get a cool little package to give to somebody, that makes a lot of sense. What that looks like, what the price is, and how you market it is all up to you. But go into any store around the holidays and you will see things bundled together. So if you're looking at what you make or sell or offer and are thinking, I have no idea how to put this together, take a step back and look at what other people are doing. If you sell products, go into a store that sells products similar to what you sell and look at how things are being packaged and bundled together. If you are a service-based business and it makes sense for you to offer packages, then look at what others in your industry are doing, because they're probably already putting things together and you can do it in a similar way. The holidays offer a weird and cool situation where somebody who might never come to your site or never look for the kinds of products or services that you offer, but they know somebody who needs them or loves them or wants them. And so you end up with new people coming and seeing what you do. So this is a really good time to make sure that everything about your branding is appealing and clear. So this is a really good time to maybe freshen up your homepage. That's where the bundles of products come in. That's where specials come in if you want to offer those. It's a good time to start collecting email addresses, because people coming to your website for the first time, either shopping for themselves or somebody else, it's a really good time to get those emails so that you can reach out to them during the next holiday or the next time you have something that would be a really cool thing to offer. If you don't have an email list set up, and I hope that you do, I really hope that you're not sending out individual emails or BCC emails to people. So hopefully you have an email platform. I just switched from MailChimp to MailerLite, and I'm loving MailerLite. That's not an ad. That's not a sponsored thing. I don't do those, but I really do like the difference. However, whatever platform you use, if it's Constant Contact, if it is whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. If you don't have one set up, get one set up and get a form for your website where somebody can sign up from your website. And you can do, I'm not a fan of pop-ups, but lots of people respond to them very well. So you could do a discount on shipping if that works for your budget, like we talked about, or a discount on product or a bundled product or a free product or however you want to do it. Just start collecting those emails, because in 3 months, you can send them an email, and otherwise you won't have their email address. So you want them to sign up for your email list so that you can send emails out to them throughout the year instead of relying on them remembering where they bought that thing or hoping that they find your social media again or remember your name. The easiest way for somebody to remember you is for you to provide some element of surprise and delight in how you work with them for the first time and every time. Especially the first time they reach out to you, you want to be memorable. And you might be getting worried that I'm going to propose something really intense and over the top, but I'm really not. Even a handwritten note sent with packages makes a huge difference. A little bit of tissue paper wrapped around the gift makes a huge difference. It makes you stand out, because most people don't bother to do that. If they are doing any kind of mail order or shipping, they throw it in the box and send it out because their focus is on getting it out, right? Their focus is not necessarily on building a relationship. So that's where I want you to take a step back and think about the last time that you ordered something online and you opened the package and you kind of oohed and aahed over the process of opening the package. And if it's been a while for you since you've ordered something, if you are hitting the Amazon Prime a little bit much, you know, and the boring brown boxes come and there's one tiny item in a giant box and that's how you're used to getting things, I'm going to share with you my favorite package probably that I have ever received. My friend Kate in Washington makes magic wands. If you want to find her, it is the Woodland Wandolier. She makes these amazing magic wands. They are custom. They're gorgeous. They're super unique. I love them. She sent my kids some wands a couple of years ago, and the kids still talk about how amazing it is. So inside the package, the wands were wrapped in paper, almost like a cocoon for them, and you opened the paper and the wands were inside. And I am fairly certain, it's been a while, but I'm fairly certain she wrapped it with twine and maybe a little note with her card. And it was so delightful to open a package and to have such an experience, to have something come and have it be so unique and so different. My kids still have the little casing thing that the wands came in. And in fact, their wands live in those when they're not using them. So think about the last time that you were really awed by a package. And if you haven't ever been awed by a package, then we need to get you ordering from some really clever, creative people, because there's nothing better than feeling like the package that you ordered is a gift. And it just feels really lovely. And that's the kind of experience you want to give to your clients. You want them to talk about it 4 years later, right? Instead of throw the envelope in the trash and move on. We really want those big, special experiences. And the awesome thing is, you just have to do a teeny tiny bit more than the regular person, right? It doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be over the top. It just has to be a little bit more, a little bit different, stand out just a tiny bit. So if you have a pen and paper handy, maybe write down some ideas of little tiny things that you can do that don't cost you money. I don't want this to be an expensive thing for you, but that you can add to a package, whether it is something small, something simple, something memorable, and something that is very you, is what's going to help you stand out and will help you be remembered, not just for this particular package, but for the next time they need to order something. And at some point, like all good things, holidays end, right? And then we're on to the next holiday. But before you jump into the next planning phase, or before you even go into recovery mode, if you have really busy holiday seasons, I want you to take some time to look at what your goals were, because hopefully you set some goals, some solid goals ahead of time, and where you reached them and where you didn't reach them. I want you to understand what worked and what didn't work. I want you to think about what took way more time than you thought it would and what was easier than you thought it would be. And I want you to do this all while it's still fresh in your head. That's why I want you to do it as soon as the season is over, or even make notes along the way if you are that kind of person, because each time is a learning experience, especially as your business grows. If you are going into your first holiday season as a new business, everything is so new and uncertain. And if you are year 20 and your business has never changed, then you have some expectations. But even then, year to year will be different. And understanding the challenges and the changes that happen over the years can really help you plan for next year so that you have an even better experience for the next holiday season. And if you are the kind of business that has multiple holiday seasons throughout the year, so for example, if you're somebody who does a lot of craft fairs, right, then you have the summer ones and the winter ones, and then maybe some other ones, and then you have an online store. Or if you just have one huge season and that's it, and then the rest of the year is building up to that season, it really depends on what your business is. But whatever your business is, it will have unique quirks and needs around the holidays. And by planning ahead, you can anticipate some of those and save yourself so many headaches. And that's really what I want for you. I want you to go into the next holiday season ready. And here are some quick ways that you can save yourself time at the end of the season. So the first thing is look at any questions that you answered over and over again. If there are, and there usually are, can you make a template? Can you make an FAQ? Can you make a blog post to share? By saving yourself that little bit of time by not having to respond to the same email and actually type it out over and over, you will save yourself time and stress. So that's the first thing, is look for templates you can create to respond to emails, the FAQs, a page on your website with details if there's an FAQ doesn't work for that particular thing. The next thing I want you to do is any images or graphics or copy or anything that you made for this season. And if you have multiple seasons, then you can do it for individual seasons also, holiday seasons. Create a file on your computer, a folder on your computer that has all of the graphics, all of the copy, everything that you need for that themed season. And next year, as you begin planning, everything you need will be in one place. And again, that will save you time because you won't have to be creating graphics. You won't have to struggle with working on copy because you've already done that. And that will save you so much time. It will just make your life easier next year. My final suggestion for planning for the next holiday season is to create a blank calendar that is at least 60 to 90 days ahead of the next holiday that you're working towards. And I know that that seems so far in advance. It's a quarter of a year, and I understand that planning that far ahead can feel really weird, but it really will make your life easier. So you are going to print out a blank calendar for those 60 to 90 days. So that's 2 to 3 months is all it is. And you are going to mark the last date that you are going to sell something. So you have to be aware of your shipping dates and rush shipping and all of those things. But working from that, you're going to work backwards and figure out how often you want to promote things. If you need to create things and when that happens, then you need to get that on your calendar. If you need to work with somebody else, if you partner with somebody else, if you collaborate with somebody else, then you need to put those dates and times and all of that information in this 60 to 90 day calendar. And what happens is by planning that far ahead, you already have half of the work done for you because you know that you're going to promote on the second Tuesday of the month and you know what you're going to promote on that date. And then you're going to move on to the next thing. And as you do that, it will just be so much easier because you already have a game plan, right? That's what I want for you. I want you to have a strategy in place for when you're going to promote your business and how you're going to do that and where you show up and why. So really the 60 to 90 day calendar for the holidays is what that is. And it can be overwhelming, but I think once you go through it the first time, save it for the next year because you can reuse a lot of the same ideas and the same concepts and the same timings, probably. As you go year to year, you might need to adjust some things depending on what works and what doesn't. And being aware of what works and what doesn't means that next year you can do more things that work and less things that don't work. And that's what I want for you. I want your holidays to be fun. And if you do holiday sales, I want them to be profitable. And I want you to be really excited about doing it instead of landing in the middle of the holiday season and just getting started. Because it's hard to run a business when you're constantly reacting, right? Let's do a little more proactive action and a little less reactive action and see how it works for you. Thank you so much for joining me. I so appreciate you taking time to hang out with me. If you've enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe. If you have questions or comments, please email me.